that is within me. Bless his holy name. For he hath done great things. Yes, he hath done great things. Yes, he hath done great things. Bless his holy name. The bride will bless the Lord, just bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. The bride will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. God bless you. You may be seated. Glad to be here.
Yes. Amen.
I wanted to get up.
Yes.
Brother Moore said we need to remake a stand.
Uh-huh.
In this late hour, make sure the body knows where you're at.
Right.
And let Satan know where you're at, too. I was just thinking, my mom and my grandma-in-law, they were with Brother Childers down over the hill in 1969 when he opened that up. And I've been here for 25 years. And I am not going anywhere.
Amen.
This is my life.
That's right.
This is my revelation. I want my kids to be here when I'm dead and gone.
Stay
at the fountain, because this is what will get you through.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Amen.
And I hope Brother Moore and Brother Jeremiah both have safe travels. Forgot to say that. I'm excited to hear my brother get up tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
But just a couple things I wanted to say tonight.
Amen.
Brother Moore and them were saying on Sunday, he said this. He said, if you love the truth, you're okay.
Right.
If you love the word, you're fine. No matter what happens to your flesh or your spirit, you're going to be okay, because that soul's okay.
Yeah.
And I love that, because if you love the truth, you're okay. So just be encouraged, body.
Amen.
And Brother Moore preached on that harvest on Sunday. And I really, as I reread it, in that Matthew 13 and 30, it's you're either going to the barn or you're going to burn. It's barn or burn.
That's right. Amen.
And I got excited because I'm going to that palace. And I don't want to burn. I know there's a first burning coming for this world. And it's already scary, and I feel sorry for them. The empathy in my humanness, I care about them, but I'm thankful that we get to go to that palace. And then we took a shift a couple Sundays ago, because I've been praying. I'm like, I pray if I say it loud enough, will Paul Aranis Martin hear me? And we call on them, but it's like, no, they're here.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, Lord, open my eyes.
Yeah.
Change my eyes. It's not that I'm begging for them to come. They're already here.
Right.
So I'm going to sing a little song. You're welcome to join me. I'll probably muddle through it, but I just felt led to sing it.
Amen.
It's Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, because that is my desire. I need God to open my eyes, because they're here with us, and I want to see them.
Amen.
So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Doug.
Amen. It's great to be back in the house of God.
Amen.
You know, it pays
it pays you to listen to the pastor. You know, Pastor Moore said a while back, you know, get your booster shot, get the COVID shot. You know, I've tested 5 times for COVID, and the worst it's done is it's given me, a congestion in my chest, congestion in my sinuses. I hadn't been to the hospital 1 time. Now, I got two brothers that got COVID once, and both of them ended up in the hospital. So I thank God for his direction.
Amen.
Pay attention to the little things, because it'll see you through. It will. You know, I was thinking earlier driving up, Brother Dwayne, as well. We are so privileged. We've had two pastors. You know, Brother Branham said, you ministers get this, and you break it down to the people.
Right.
We've had two pastors. We've got wonderful ministers.
Amen.
That they have this revelation, you know. I was thinking about the ripening time.
Very, very blessed.
You know, where, you know, Brother Moore said it traveled as far from the east to the west.
Yes, yes, yes.
Where did it go? Where's it at today? I know the answers to those questions.
Oh, yes.
You have to answer that for yourself.
Amen.
You know, the Word was made flesh and it was dwelt among us. It went into the ground.
Yes.
Where's it at today?
That's right.
Where is that harvest?
Come on.
We are that harvest. And I'm so blessed to know that.
Amen.
God bless that. God bless that. That is beautiful. You know, we're not wanting for anything here. You know, and you, when you come here, you come with an expectation. You know,
right.
Pastor said, you know, you come expecting. You
right.
know, yeah. I came tonight expecting I was going to lead song service, because I got some songs on my heart. I got praise on my heart.
On.
You know, I expect to hear from God, and I expect to share my knowledge of the mystery.
Sure.
And so, you know how life just throws you a handful sometimes, and then you start looking at things, and that's what happened to me this morning. And then I realized, just like Brother Jay said, he said, it's Wednesday. Of course these things would come. Satan try to talk at me when he's not even, it's not even lawful for him to talk to me. So I just, I started singing and I started clapping. And then all of a sudden I get out of my truck and I talk to some people, and oh man, they're ready to receive God. And it's just all day. He blessed me with the beautiful weather. You know, it's just been so peaceful all day long. You know, it's just the little things, you know, that God does. And sometimes we don't, you know, we overlook it and sometimes take it for granted. But, you know, I come here with an expectation because I need the Word. I need the Word all the time. So I just wanted to sing a song here. Number 43, in The Only Believe, Come and Dine.
Yes.
Amen. TSC. Amen. Jesus has a table spread.
Sure does.
Amen.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed, and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, he turned water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master calleth unto them. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry all the time. Oh, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine.
Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, he turned water into wine. To the hungry, call it now. Come and dine. Soon the lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight. All the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry, call it now to come and dine. One more time. Oh, yes, come and dine. The Master call it, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry, call it now. Come and dine. God bless you. You may be seated.
First of all, I just want to say I'm just thankful to be here today, and I'm excited, and I'm excited to see what God does tonight, because sometimes you go through the day and you just see God in so many things. You're like, there's got to be something important coming today.
Oh, yes.
Because I just, everything today, from one perspective, is things are going crazy, and another perspective, I see God coming in every time. Yeah. It is so interesting, because I've been helping sub at the school for a teacher who has cancer. It's already like she's touched my heart enough just seeing her. But she hasn't been here the past couple days, and there's two teachers who came in, and normally you don't have two teachers in the room. We're already understaffed, and but it's just there were two people, and they came in, and it just touched my heart so much, because they were talking about how one of the girls, her husband had cancer, and her mom has dementia, and she's like, I sympathize what our teacher's going through, so I want to just come and help and be a blessing. And she's like, now that I'm in here, I can have peace knowing that you're here for these students, because they need God in their lives, and I can see you're God for these kids. I didn't even say anything to her. I knew her for like 10 minutes. I was like, okay. And I was like, and it's just like those crazy days, and you're like, okay, you can see God. And then I ran over a can of paint, and I saw you at the car wash. I was trying to get off. I was frustrated. I was like, oh my goodness, there's paint all over my car. I was freaking out. I was just there, and I saw this mom with her two kids, and she was such a good mom. I was like, God bless that woman sitting there helping her kids. I was like, God just sees those things. And then I went after that to the gas station, because I wanted to get the kids a treat, because it helped me clean the car. And Lily was just bawling. She was having a hard time. She's not feeling good. And some lady let me cut her line, and she's like, you can go ahead of me, I'm not in any rush. I was like, God just sees all those things. And sometimes you're in the moment, it feels overwhelming. And then if you just take a second and pause and step and look back, you can see God in it. And you just can just relax and like take a deep breath and just let it all go. Mm-hmm. And like, God has me here for a reason. I'm just thankful that God can use me and that I can be out there. Even today, I was sitting there thinking, I was like, Lord, let this just be the last few people. And let's get out of here, because it's just such a close to the end time. I'm just thankful that I can see it.
Amen, sister. God bless.
Get up and testify before Satan takes my voice. Feeling kind of froggy. You know, but I want to, you know, get up, and I want to be, on Wednesday night, you know, it's, I get up early. You know, 4:40 comes early, and I want to come in, and I want to shake it off. You know, I don't want to come in here and be the responsible one that sits here and just waits for the preacher to get up and preach. I want to put in my seasoning, like Elise said.
Yes, yes.
You know, God's been too good to me.
Amen.
You know, I always say God gave me breath.
Yeah.
Starts off with breath. When there's breath, there's hope. Right. There's hope, there's life.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, but I just love that, because it's such a rest. It's such a rush. You listen to what Pastor Moore says with the COVID thing, yes. With the word that everything that's come forth through this pulpit, has it keeps you, it guards you, Amen. It guides you. It makes life so easy.
Yeah.
It's so simple. The fact that all we have to do is open our eyes.
Amen.
We don't have any work to do.
Right.
It's exciting because before, you know, they had to guess. You know, they're trying to read stuff by candlelight.
It's work.
That's tough. Yeah, you're trying to read by candlelight?
Yeah.
It's not easy. No. But we have light. We have fluorescent
full
light.
Full light. Amen.
And you know LED. What light does? Light casts out all shadows.
Yes.
There's no doubt. There's no questions. If we had a question, we come on Sunday night, we can have them answered. It's such a wonderful time.
Amen.
So I love this opportunity to get in here. I want to praise God. I don't want to go home with the voice.
Amen.
If he wants me to lose the voice here, I'm going to lose the voice here.
Amen.
I want to raise my hands because they said if you don't sing a song, you'll not know how to sing.
Amen.
If you don't get up and testify, you won't know where I'm at.
Come on. Right.
It's by my voice.
Yeah.
It's by my testimony because you know what happens?
Amen.
You listen to that service. I listen to Wednesday service come Saturday or Friday.
Yeah.
And you're having a rough time.
Yeah.
But you fall back on that testimony.
Come on.
You know what? You only can go as far as that testimony will get you. You can go a certain point. That's why it's important to come in here on Wednesday and stake it. Yeah. It's the middle of the week. It's the hardest part. It's late. But come Wednesday, you know, Sunday we're fresh.
Yeah.
Sunday we've had a good night's sleep, most of us. But Wednesday, you know, we had to go through school and work and the day. It's
Maybe.
Nighttime. But thank God that the doors are open.
Amen.
Because one of these days... The doors won't be open. But why I can testify, why I can clap my hands, why I can praise God, I will.
Amen.
Because this is, I'm the living, breathing word of God. I love that because when you see me, you know, you understand that. You see me, you see Christ. Before
That's
it was
right.
just, it was a catchphrase. Until you have a revelation, it's a catchphrase, it's a buzzword.
It's a buzz.
You're like, oh, well, I'll just repeat like a parrot. Until you have that revelation, I love that because... I always think about that upper room experience.
Yes.
You can come in here and you can have all the church you want.
Yeah.
But then you know what? You can almost come out leaving drunk. You almost almost not safe to drive.
Right.
Because you're so in the spirit.
Yeah.
Right. And you can decide how much you want. You can come in here and you can take a spoonful.
Right.
Or you can drag that body in, empty everything out, and fill it back up and
That's
go back out there. So thank God for another day where I can walk in here. Thank you that the handshakes from the beginning to the songs that we sing, it helps me.
Yes.
It shakes all Wednesday off. Because right now I'm in church.
Yes,
nothing
Lord.
Else mattered from today. It's safe. You made it. So thank God for revelation.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
For the mic.
When he was talking, it kind of reminded me of something that Pastor Moore said. And he was talking about light and darkness. And, of course, I know there's no such thing as darkness. It's just the absence of light.
Right.
But then it goes back to the other is that there's no real evil. It's just the absence of God. And as I looked at that, I thought about that. I'm like, what's wrong with the school system in America? There's no God in there.
No.
What's wrong with our government? There's no God in there. The United Nations, there's no God in there.
Right.
What's wrong with our churches? There's no God in there.
Right.
That's
right.
That's the key to it. They have a form of godliness. They have their Pope.
That's right.
And that they listen to him.
Come on.
And that's as close to God as they want.
Yeah.
They don't want any more God than that.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just a reflection of that. That's all they've got. And if you want to know what's wrong with the world, there's no God in them.
Right.
We're the only God that they'll ever have for the rest of their stay here. And then God's going to turn to Israel.
That's right.
But... It's just, I feel for them, but they're the ones who kicked God out.
Yeah.
They kicked God out of government. They kicked him out of the schools. They kicked him out of everything in their lives.
Everything.
Then they wonder why everything's falling apart.
Yeah. Right.
Man, what do you expect? But it's just, I'm just glad we can see that. We can stand
Amen.
Here as the light, not in the light, as the light, and shine still to this. We're the last ones. Maybe you have a candle, maybe you have a spotlight, whichever one that you believe for yourself. But you are the only light in this world that's left up here. All they have is their form of godliness.
That's right.
And we need to step out there for those last ones. Because there's no other God that's in this world except for what's in here right now.
That's right. Amen. Let me get the announcements out of the way real quick. So we're already in November. So November 19th, Sunday, Thanksgiving dinner after service. Now, for all those who are going to bring in a dish, call or text Sister Elise. Let her know what you're bringing. Because the church is going to provide meat, beans, and the salad. So the rest is up for grabs per Sister Elise. And then we've got December 1st through the 4th, Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah are visiting San Diego Church. God bless that. Because I know the last time they went, they were all blessed, and they had some tacos or something like that, something good, tamales, man. I missed out. But and then New Year's service. So, you know, the dinner's at 6, and then the service is at 8. So this is upon us already. You know, this year is over. I mean, I feel like we just started, you know, but we've been through. If we know how Sister Kara does all the look back, you know, summarizes up the whole year. I can't wait to see it because we've been through a lot.
That's right.
You know, Brother Moore was talking about that pressure. Oh, my goodness. There's so much pressure to hit this body, and we made it through as a body. So give yourselves a hand. God bless you, sister. You'll be the last one.
I'm grateful for the push to be here. I'm grateful for the fire that gets rekindled every time we come here. We get the new marching orders. There's nothing like coming here. There's nothing like the Word of God. And I've been so blessed to have my husband and the kids and everything that God has placed in my life so that I can get closer to the Word. Because so many things in this world will try to pull you. Every second it gets, you know, it'll look nice, it'll feel nice. And the rain falls on everybody. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing about it is he gives us the ability to get through the rain, through the storms, because he's already seen the way. And I am so grateful that he has seen a way for us. Just please keep my husband and my kids and in me and your thoughts and prayers, because we're still plugging through.
Amen.
And we're going to be at the finish line to see y'all.
Right.
So I just want to be thankful to come here and get my next set of orders.
Amen. God bless you, sister. Let's sing Praise Him in Advance, song 227 in the chorus, key of F, and then we'll get him up. Amen. Happy to be here today.
I've had my share of ups and downs, times when there was no one around. God came and spoke these words to me. Praise will confuse the enemy. So I started singing, I started clapping, I started laughing. The people were laughing. They knew my problems and they knew my pain. But I knew God would take them away. That's why I praise Him with my hands. That's why I praise Him with a dance. He's given me a second chance. Come on, let's praise Him in advance. I've had my share of ups and downs, times when there was no one around. But God came and spoke these words to me. Praise will confuse the enemy. So I started singing, I started clapping, I started dancing. People were laughing. They knew my problems. They knew my pain. But I knew God would take it away. That's why I praise Him with my hands. That's why I praise Him with a dance. He's given me a second chance.
come on, let's praise Him in advance. That's why I praise Him with a song. When things are right and when they're wrong, He's given me a second chance. Come on, let's praise Him in advance. I've had my share times when there was no one around, but God came and spoke these words to me. Praise will confuse the air. So I started singing. I started clapping. I started dancing. People were laughing. They knew my problems and they knew my pain, but I knew God would take it away. That's why I praise Him with my hands. That's why I praise Him with a dance. He's given me a second chance. Come on, let's praise Him in advance. That's why I praise Him with a song. When things are right and when they're wrong, He's given me a second chance. Oh, He's given me a second chance. Yes, He's given me a second chance. Come on, let's praise Him in advance. Amen, amen. Let's bow our head in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You for this opportunity to get together, fellowship in Your word. That's really what we're here for, Lord. Lord, whether it's been a short day, a long day, whatever day, we've made it. Lord, bless the hearer and the speakers that both get us out of the way and hear and receive what You have to give us, Lord. Lord, bless the prayer requests that have been given, and spoken and unspoken. Lord, bless those that are traveling and bless those that may be a little bit under the weather, Lord. Let everything from the under sound of this voice be blessed, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be here. Amen. I am happy about being in church. No other place I'd rather be. And I'm excited about being here. I'm just excited about, you know, like Brother Dwayne said, this is my life. So I'm happy to share it with you. You know, when you got something that you're excited about, you're happy to share it. I want you to see what I got. You know, I'm like a kid at Christmas. Look at what I got. I got something that I know you want. I got peace. I got joy. I got salvation. I got revelation. I got a lot of stuff. I'm spoiled. Look at me. You know, I got everything. You know, I was thinking about that. I thought, my goodness, you know, even when we sing that song, He's giving me a second chance. Every time you come to service, you have a second chance. Yes. You know, I can say it in the natural, in health, God's giving me a second chance. And spiritual, I can say that. You can say all that, but you've made it to church. Amen. That's a second chance. I had it wrong before I got here, and now I got it right. I got a second chance to do whatever it was that I thought I needed to do better. I got a second chance to do it. You know, like they said, you know, when did you start? Today. Yeah. I'm here right now. I've made every service. I've been on time every time. I praise God every time I have the opportunity. Satan can't take nothing from me now. Yesterday was yesterday. This morning was this morning. This afternoon was this afternoon. But the present tense, the I am, is here right now. When you got the I am, that you got everything you need. I got the answers to yesterday's problems. I got the answers to today's problems. And I got the answers to tomorrow's problems. Whatever they may be, I am present is right now. I've got everything I need for the journey. You know, I've got everything I need for the rapture. You know, you're talking about taking another step. We realize that they're right here.
You know, Brother Branham had that revelation that they were right here. He thought they were off somewhere, flying somewhere. Then he realized he's like, they're just a little bit higher. He brought them with him. When I come to church, I realize that I'm stepping up just a little bit higher. I'm right there. Matter of fact, like Brother Dwayne said, you know, I used to think, oh, I'm going to say Paul. I'm going to say Irenaeus and wake them up. They're awake. They understand who I am right now. They're rejoicing like I'm rejoicing. They're standing on their feet like I'm standing on my feet. Matter of fact, when I realize that I don't have to be there, I'm going to join them in the celebration. Where I'll be all three rims perfect, and I'll be able to move like a thought, just like they're moving like a thought. Matter of fact, they're excited. They're waiting on me. They're waiting on me. See, we had it wrong. We had it so mixed up in our thinking, like, oh, they're asleep. No, they're awake now. The guy, he said he wouldn't marry an unmature bride. That means the bride has to be ready. When the mind wakes up, my whole body wakes up.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, you know, even in the natural, if my mind wakes up and my foot's still asleep, I know it. I can still move it. I can still get it to do what it needs to do. Why? Because the mind's awake. When the mind wakes up, the whole body has to wake up. I call to the whole body. When the mind wakes up, it wakes up the whole body. Oh, my. Because you can be sleeping, moving your leg and not be awake. You can be sleeping, moving your arm and not be awake. But when your mind wakes up, the whole body's awake. Now the intelligence has come. Now I can move my arms and I know it. Now I can move and I know it. They didn't know it when they were going through the ages. I know what God's doing. Woo! When you know. See, to know is to understand. I got to understand the whole plan of God. That's my testimony. Praise God, if you could see where he brought me from. To when I didn't know. To now I know. What he's brought me to. Oh, so I know that if he's brought me to it, what does the song say? That he'll bring me through it. You know that we sang that song at Sister Sandy's funeral. Said, I know he didn't bring me this far to leave me.
Amen.
Oh, at that time, I didn't have as much understanding as I have now. Oh, now I can say that even with more confidence. He didn't bring me this far to leave me. He wanted me to know what I was going through. Wanted me to see this thing. I'm not going through this life with anesthesia. I'm fully awake right now. I know I'm wide awake. I know what God wants. I know what he calls for. Matter of fact, I know what God sounds like. There's a whole group of people that don't even know what God sounds like. They don't even know what he says. You're looking at God right now. You can see God right now. That's a revelation. Oh, you know there's people that can't see God? They could come into this church tonight and not see God. I can tell them about miracles. I can tell them about healings. We can do a healing right in front of them. That ain't going to bring them back to church.
No.
That time is over.
That's right.
You have the pools, the first and second pool. That's done now. Signs and wonders are over. They don't pull anybody no more. We got to push people now almost to church.
Oh, my.
God himself is on the scene right now. You know, and I'm going to get into the scriptures here in a little bit, but I just was thinking, do you realize how far you've come? Do you realize how far we've come? I can go back years. I can go back in there and say, when I got here in the 90s, I can tell you how far I came from there. But I ain't got to do that. I can say, do you realize how far you came this week? Do you realize how far you came this month? November. You realize how far you came this year? You think about this. We didn't even know. You didn't even know how strong you was until that pressure got applied. You didn't know how sweet the fragrance would be until you started to get crushed a little bit. You didn't know what words you even had in you until we put a mic in front of your face. You didn't even know how strong of a part of the body you would be until God pushed you out in front of the light. Oh, you say, Brother Jay, what are you getting at? I'm telling you, God put us all through the pipes, all through that pressure. He took that coal and made a perfect, beautiful diamond. Now we're shining. Now somebody can come in off the street and go, who is the pastor? They're all so strong. They're all so revelated. I hear the kids from Sunday school. Is one of them the pastor? You know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were teenagers. Jesus was 12 years old when he confounded them. So it stands to reason that when you get an understanding, you're going to be far light years ahead of where the church world is. You know, you ever see somebody, if you're just sitting still and somebody's moving, you take your eye off of them a little bit, and even if they're going slow, you can see somebody just walking. If you're sitting still, they're going to get further and further away from you. No matter what, you'll just look up and be like, my goodness, they're a mile away. 2 miles away, 3 miles away. Then they're out of sight. That's how it is if you're just walking. This church world has been sitting still for years, and we're moving like lights. We're so far ahead of them, they can't even see what we're doing. You know, Brother Branham even talked about it. He said, you know, man traveled. They did the cars. At first they did the horses, the cars, and then the planes, and then spaceships. He said, you're moving like rockets. We're even past that. Supersonic in this age. I mean, we're moving so fast. We're moving like light. Like a thought. I can go from Genesis to Revelation in one testimony. Do you know that I've just went through the whole book of the Bible in one testimony? I talked about serpent seed in one testimony. I can tell you that those that two framework in the church working in one testimony. I can take you from Genesis to Revelation in 1 minute. That's moving like a light. That's moving like a thought. And the whole body's staying right with me. Boom, 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 boom. Do you realize how far you've come? Give yourself a hand. We made it. We made it. Oh, Brother Branham even said, he said, what are you going to do when you get that group together? Because I like how he put the words in there. He said, what are you going to do when you get that group? Not that man. Not when you get one man that knows it. Not when you get one woman that knows it, or two people. When you get that group that knows what it is, then the rapture will go. He said, the church will recognize its position one day. And we do. Amen. Today we know that. Amen. We've known our position for a long time. Amen. You know, I kind of get cracked up a little bit. People come in here and they think they're going to tell us something new. And I laugh to myself. I'm like, that was 75. That was 78. You know, that was 83. You know, I'm going back 40 years on them like this. We've been right a long time. Amen. When they finally catch up to something, we've known it for 20 years. Yes, matter of fact, that even when we talk about saving time being over, I'm going to get in there. But I thought, you know how long we've been talking about saving time being over? Yeah. I mean, Pastor Moore took one trip. He went somewhere and came back. And Brother Childers was still here. That's how far back I'm going. He's not here right now. His word is still traveling right now. Yeah. He said, saving time's over.
That's right.
And at that time, it was a falling away. There was a falling away. There were brothers and sisters that didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. The big falling away, like, oh, saving time can't be over. We've been right a long time.
Yeah.
The believers stayed with it and said, saving time is over. It matches the word. It matches the scripture. It just makes sense. Because we use those parables and we use those stories and those analogies of Noah.
Yeah.
But use the whole analogy.
Right.
Noah gave those people 120-something years of preaching. Right. At some point, it had to be over. It had to come a time when it was over. Where the door was shut. And you think about that. God doesn't like to half-do things anyway. When he gives you a chance to take the message, you either take it or you leave it.
That's it.
There's no once the rain starts, then you can believe God. No, you have to believe God with faith. That's the only... Just not to receive it is to reject it.
That's right.
Oh, that's going to get me started in here, Brother Doc. Because when you... Let's just read. Let me just read and I'll show you what I'm looking at here. Because Pastor Moore, he read... A matter of fact, I'm going to tell you guys. I got Pastor Moore's notes. I went and I'm stolen from his house today. And I was in sales for a long time. And they would say this term called Glengarry Glen Rice Leads. And it's a movie, old movie, and what would happen in the movie, Alec Baldwin or whatever, he had these leads, and he told all these people these leads were perfect. He said, these leads are the best leads you can ever get. And all the salesmen that believed it sold. They just get the paper and they sell. Well, it was just a little bit of a myth. I mean, it was, they just believed in what he had gave them, and they just trusted their ability to sell. These are Glengarry Rice leads. I say that because we're referencing the books of the Bible that everybody had access to. We're referencing the quotes that Brother Branham gave that everybody has access to. But all those people get them and they don't know what to do with them. I believe that God was with Pastor Moore when he went through the studies. I believe that he helped him and gave him divine intervention when he put them together. So when I'm going through this, I believe it.
I
believe that God was here with him. So I'm going to be using this tonight.
Amen.
These are the good leads right here. I got the good scriptures. I got scriptures you haven't heard before. I got scriptures in Matthew you ain't read before. So let's go over and read over to Matthew chapter 13. It says another parable. This is verse 24. He said another parable. He put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir,
this doth now sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he say, nay. Least while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. That's where we're going to get into. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn, like Brother Dwayne said, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, here we go, saints. We're going to get in this because Pastor Moore preached about ripening in the sun, and my title tonight is Bride Has Reached Full Maturity. Yeah. Those are the same terms when you have a revelation. Yeah. When you reach full maturity, you're at harvest, that ripening in the sun, that's the same. We're right there in the same thing, but I thought, you know, through the ages, God always let every fruit bear forth its kind before he called it what he was going to call it. Before he called a spade, he let them do exactly what they were going to do with the word.
Yeah.
You talk about to not accept it is to reject it.
Yeah.
We've been given, the world has been given the opportunity to accept the word.
Yes, sir.
And by not accepting it, they automatically reject it.
Amen.
They're automatically telling you what they are. And in this we say, tares, unbelief.
Yeah.
Wheat is believers.
Right.
That's how this works. He said, let them grow together. Let them grow together. Don't mess with it. Let them bring forth the fruit that they're supposed to bring. And then when that time comes, it'll be easy to tell.
Sure.
It'll be easy to tell. You know, it's almost like when something's not at full maturity, you don't know what it really is yet. Until it brings forth fruit, you really don't know what it is. You can't really tell. You know, you know, Brother Steve talked about those that corn sprouting up. Grass looks like that. A tree looks like that.
Yeah.
Weed looks like that. You know, when you go to plant something, you don't know yet.
Yeah.
You know, Sister Belinda does gardening. Everything looks good and the first comes up.
Right.
You think you got tomatoes and you're planting it. Something green comes up. Let it grow a little bit.
Yeah.
If it don't bring forth tomatoes,
right.
It ain't a tomato plant.
That's right.
It starts bringing forth weeds and you realize that's a tear.
Yeah.
That's not what I planted in there.
Right.
But you got to let it grow so you can easily identify it.
Right.
We're in the hour right now where we easily identify unbelief. I can easily see somebody that doesn't believe the word of God.
Amen.
And you inversely, you can easily see somebody that believes the word of God. I say yay and amen even when the word cuts me.
Yes.
When it cuts me to the core, I still say yay and amen.
Amen.
That's a believer.
Yes.
A tear, when the word cuts them, I don't know. Give me another scripture. Let me read about it. That's that spirit of iniquity. That comes in there and starts to try to reason. It starts to try to make the word match their life. That's something else Pastor Moore said this Sunday. Said they try to make the word match their life, but your life has to match the word.
Right.
You don't make God match what you want. You match what God wants. That's even what Jesus said. He said, not my will, but thine.
Amen.
Oh, man, I love this. I love this because
Amen. We're
a bride at full maturity and God is always separated. And now it's the great separation right now. Through the ages, it was a separation. Through the ages of separation, even, and I thought about this, I thought, even souls that are in prison, even before Jesus died on the cross, there was a separation. Say, Brother Jay, what are you talking about? Well, before Jesus manifested himself as the Son of God and died on the cross to pay for everybody's sins, everybody that died went to hell. But God still separated them. There was a chasm in there. There's a big gulf there that had the wheat on one side and the tares on the other side. It was a separation all the way through. After Jesus has paid the price, there is still a separation. When you're a believer and you pass away, you go to heaven. Unbeliever, you go to hell. There's still a separation. And they go, well, Brother Jay, what about the white throne judgment? Even at the white throne judgment, it's still going to be a separation.
Right.
You go to the right, you go to the left. There's always this separation that God always does, and he waits until it's at full maturity.
Right.
He doesn't do it early, and that's why even Brother Childers would say, you know, get your filthy hands off of me. You don't even know how to judge.
Right.
You need to hear all the facts first.
Right.
You know, a good judge will hear all the facts. Present the case from both sides. Let me see what's going on. Don't be judged before the time. But I thank God that it's judgment time now.
That's,
It's time now. Why? Because it's full maturity. Yeah. Satan is in his fullness. Right. You can see him. You can see him clearly. Right. We clearly see him. Matter of fact, I see Satan close so clearly, I see his trail.
Yeah.
I'm like a tracker now. I can see the animal and I can see the trail of where it came from. I can go through the ages and see the trail that Satan left all the way through, even at the Nicaea Council. I see his trail. That's how clear I see him. I can see where he was. I can see where he is. And I know what's going to happen at the Battle of Gog and Magog.
That's right.
I know everything. You know, and I thought about that. I thought, do we even give ourselves enough credit for knowing everything? Like, here's the thing. We're in church tonight. We can be a little boastful. You know, I'm not at work where I got to keep my seat, keep my peace. I'm in here tonight amongst believers. You know, this is like being around a bunch of doctors. We're all smart. I know you did your dissertation. I did my dissertation. Let me tell you what I know. You tell me what you know. And we're going to add it together. Nobody's dumb in here. Nobody's dumb in here. We all put our work together. Everybody's smart in here. You go, well, Brother Jay, I don't know as much as this. I don't care what you know. How much do you believe? Oh, I believe exactly what you believe. Well, then come on. That's your degree. You got everything you need. You believe what I believe. Now share with me your angle. Tell me how you see it. What do you see it from? I'm seeing it from this place. You see it from this place. And now we put it together and we got a full picture of the whole plan of God. I even love when you talked about, and Brother Duck said, you know, those ministers were there sent to break it down. We're getting scriptures broken down to us that now when we read Matthew, we see it different than anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, see, the church world looks at this parable and they try to make it a gospel. I understand it's just a parable. He says liken unto this. Liken.
Right.
That means that, because see, when you read it, it shows in there that somebody could have messed up God's plan.
Right.
When you read it, there's an enemy that could have messed up God's plan. But that's just an analogy. Satan could have never messed up God's plan. Matter of fact, in the scripture it said, if it were possible. But it's not possible to deceive the elect at this hour. Why? Because we know what it is. We're in full maturity. We can clearly see the plan of God.
Yes.
Oh, my. Let me read that. I'm going to go over here and see this here. Because the more I think about what God has done for us, the less inclined I'm going to take the back seat to Satan. You know, I'm looking at all these things that God has done, and I'm thinking, why do we have to take the back seat? You know, a lot of times in life, people go, well, be the bigger person, take down, and this, that, and the third. I don't have to be the smaller person or the bigger person in that regard. I don't have to be humble when it comes to dealing with Satan. I boldly tell him where he needs to go. I don't meekly approach the throne, and I don't meekly approach Satan. When I need to tell him to go, I tell him to go. I'm not fooled by any of his tricks. I'm not thrown by any of his games. Matter of fact, Pastor Moore even said that I choose to ride with Satan if I want to, and I choose when I want to get off. I control even Satan.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times in the Bible, they talk about how in the end time, we're going to narrowly look upon him. I want to narrowly look upon him today. Now. Let's narrowly look upon him now. We've got an understanding of who he is, what he's trying to do. Now. Let's narrowly look upon him now. Don't let him ruin your Wednesday. Don't let him ruin your Thursday. Narrowly look upon him now. You're a bride of full maturity. You've got the full authority, the full word of God, and you have the power and the authority to put everything in its place. He said you can call worlds into existence. So let's narrowly look upon him like that. Let me go over here. One of the notes from Pastor Moore. This is over in Matthew chapter 7. He says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is honed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. You're telling me there's people out here claiming to know God that don't know him at all? Right. Don't know him at all. He doesn't recognize them. They're not even doing him a service.
Right.
And you think, well, Brother Jay, they're doing abortion stops. They're doing political rallies. They're building the hospitals. They're prophesying. They're healing. And none of it is to the will of God.
That's right.
They're always a day late and a dollar short on everything they do. Everything they do.
Right.
When it started to rain, I'm sure they tried to build a boat. Too late.
Right.
Too late. Too late. Right. And we talk about all these different things. There's people that choose to be in bondage. You know, there's things in the Bible talking about the Day of Jubilee where you have a certain time period where you can go free. You can go free. If you want, you can go free. And there's people that choose slavery. And the sign that they chose is they put a boar in their ear to say, you chose this life. This world has a boar in their ear. They chose to be in bondage, to be in slavery, to not be free. But this is the great Jubilee for us. We're free and we know it.
Amen.
We got a revelation and we can say it. We can loudly profess it. We come to a church where it's God all in all. I don't even think you understand how great of a church you have. There's people that go to church for music. Just music. Just music. They come to church just to hear the singing. You got a radio for that. I don't come to church for the music. I don't care if we ever sing a song. Now, that's not a knock against Brother Isaiah or Skylar or myself or Pastor Moore. I love to hear the songs, but I'm not here for the songs. That's not why I'm here. I'm here for the cake. Let me get to the word. Let me get to what I'm here for. Let me get to the meat of this conversation. We talk about even good living. I 100% believe you should live good. I believe women should wear dresses. I believe men should wear pants. I believe we should have haircuts. I believe you should wear your nicest clothes to church. I believe all those things. But if you come here in shorts, see, I get in trouble for this. I do, because the church world don't like it. Because they come here for something else. They come here for the music. I come here for the word. If you come here in shorts and your hair not cut or long, either one, and you start bringing me the word, guess what I can no longer see anymore? I can't see the shorts. I don't see the hair. I hear the word of God, and that's all I focus on. I know no man after the flesh.
Amen.
We can say that and say it loud and proud, but then when somebody comes to you in the wrong flesh, you get tripped up. I don't get tripped up. I clearly see where God is at, no matter where he is. If he made a donkey cry out, I would still hear the word of it.
Yes, sir.
And you go, well, Brother Jay, is there precedent for that? In the Bible, God had a donkey speak out. Nobody cared what that donkey was wearing. Nobody cared what he looked like. They heard the word of God and recognized it and stepped out on it.
Amen.
Now, and you go, well, I don't want to go too off on one side or the other. I believe you should dress right. I think you should pay your bills. I think all those things that we preach, I believe you should do.
Yes.
But none of those things deter me from the word of God. You come in here in a suit and preach the wrong thing, I don't want it.
Amen.
You come in here in the wrong clothes and preach the right thing, I can't help but hear it.
Amen.
I want every word of it. I want you to keep preaching. I want you to keep bringing it. You know, because why? Because I know what I'm here for.
Amen.
I'm not here for song and dance.
Right.
I'm here for the word of God.
Right.
I'm at full maturity now. I don't want somebody staying in intercessory for me. I don't need no mediator for me. I don't want you speaking in place of God. That's what the Pope is. He's in place of God. I don't want somebody in place of God. I just want God. That's it. I don't want you to act like God. I want you to either be God or shut up. That's all I want. I want you to know who you are or keep silent.
Yes.
Oh, my. It's the age of full maturity now. The bride is on her feet now, strong, steadfast, unmovable in this thing. That's how we all should be.
Yes.
Oh, Brother Jay, I want to be like that. You are like that.
Amen.
Don't let Satan push you in a corner.
Right.
Oh, I'm not strong enough. You're strong enough. You're receiving the word of God.
Amen.
That's what makes you strong enough. Oh, I can't explain it like you can. You're not supposed to.
Yes.
See, put Satan in his seat as quick as you can.
Yes.
Put him in his seat as quick as you can. Put him in his seat. I'm not dressed like I'm supposed to be. Well, change it. Who cares? Right? How hard is it? How hard is it? You make it hard. You make it hard. I make it hard to iron my clothes. I just make it hard. I'm talking about myself. I'm throwing myself in it. Oh, I don't want to iron my shirt. That's just being lazy. Right? I'm throwing myself under the bus. I know y'all do it. I know everybody irons before church. And you guys probably iron your socks. I know it. Don't, no worries. But I'm just saying, sometimes you get lazy and you want to put excuses. Don't put excuses on it. Let the word be the word. If you didn't wear your best clothes, you came to church, you still made it. Right?
Like, hear the word. That's the most important thing. That's what is the most important thing in the age of full of maturity. You know, there's things that we're going to have to continually get better on every single day. So what? That's what the ministry's for. It's for the perfecting of the saints. I'm not perfect yet. I won't be as long as I got these other two rams. That no matter how much I clean them up, no matter how much I shower them, no matter how much I dress it up, no matter how much I put a suit on, it'll never be perfect. I got to get this thing annihilated and put on a new body for the change to really happen. But while I'm here, will I press? Yes, I will. Will I say the word is right even when I'm wrong? Yes, I will. If I come in here with the wrong spirit and you got to turn my head back around, please do. This is the house of correction. That's what I came here for. I came here because I want to be right. I can do wrong all by myself. Oh, my. This church world makes me so frustrated because they want to beat down on the people that are just trying to get better. You bully? Right, I came here because I want to be better. I serve God because I want to. Don't ruin my experience. Don't ruin God for me. I know God can do anything. Don't limit my God. Limit your God. You only pray for $4. You only pray that God gives you just enough gas to get home. You only pray that the lights come on in the living room. You only pray that you have one bowl of cereal. You pray like that. That's not how I'm praying. I'm praying for steak and lobster. I'm praying for an overflowing bank account. I pray for that my job is easy. I pray that my burden is light. I pray that I got joy in every step. I pray that the environment around me is peaceful. I pray different prayers than you pray. Don't limit my God. I got a full revelation in this hour. I can ask for what I want now. Not just little stuff. I ask for what I want. Yes. Oh, my. You know, Brother Seth said, breath. Yes, I got breath, but I'm going to keep asking for more of them.
Yes.
Oh, I come in here breathing, but if I'm coughing, I want God to take away the cough.
Yes.
If I come in here and I can't talk loud, I want him to give me a voice I can yell out.
Come on.
Oh, if I don't know the words of the song, I want him to have pervading find it so quick that I barely even say the words and it shows up on there.
Yes.
That's how I pray. That's how I believe. That's how I serve God. And I serve him like that in everything. Everything. From having a problem with my kids, I'm praying to God, make this the best situation ever. Turn this around so it's so positive I didn't even know you could do it this way. By your faith. You know, it's impossible to even please God without faith. We say that all the time, but then when it comes to having faith, we want to see something. We want to see something, Brother Don. We say, oh, it's impossible to please God without faith. But then we act like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Let me see the marks on your hand first, Lord. Let me see the scar in your side. Bunch of doubting Thomases. Then I'll believe it's God. Believe it first. That's how Noah found favor with God. He believed him first. He didn't wait for it to rain. He didn't wait to build a boat. He believed God first, and then all those things happened. Praise God for revelation. Praise God for being in full maturity. Now, hearing this thing, you know, I'm going to go over to another quote. But I thought about this. I thought, you know, we're that seed of God, and we've just been growing and growing and growing. And in one sense of it, you know, I can say we can be boastful and proud. But the other side of it, you know, I like to put a balance on there, is that God is the one that did the increase. That's over in Corinthians, but God provides the increase. God is the one that has been making sure we watered perfectly. He's the one that got us in the right atmosphere. You know, you couldn't find this church if you wanted to. I don't know how much what our Google presence is. I don't think our social media account's been activated yet. I mean, we're pretty under the radar. You could live across the street and not know what's over here. It's that simple, that quiet. And it's not like an Omega Baptist church where we got signs blaring, music blasting, none of those things like that. It's just right under the radar. But God is providing the increase every time. And you got the most revelated people on the planet. Sitting here, service after service, that knows what it is. Knows what it is. I even like how Sister Beth said her testimony. She said, that lady accused her of something. She said, do you know who I am? If you knew who I was, you wouldn't even be accusing me. You'd be asking me for eternal life.
That's right.
You'd be asking for some water that you'd never go thirsty if you knew who I was. That's a different kind of testimony. That's somebody that knows what it is.
Amen.
She ain't been here 100 years. She ain't been here 40 years. She wasn't here in the 80s and the 90s when we were taking these pictures. She's brand new to this thing and has a revelation. Why? God's been breaking it down. It's been moving. It's accelerated.
Yes.
It's accelerated right now. Oh, my goodness. You come and get one service and you're ready for the journey.
Oh, yes.
You're ready for the journey with one service.
Yes.
You know, I can see how, you know, I can see how some of the people that's been in here a little while get a little jealous. Right? I mean, you think about it, you know, I love hearing Brother Lockett yell out, "You must be born again." I remember in the 90s, Brother Lockett wasn't yelling out, "Must be born again." Brother Lockett was a still, quiet voice back there, just monitoring things. But now he's got something like fire shut up in his bones. He can't sit down the same. He can't talk the same. Sometimes you see him just walk around, just, "I got to just move a little bit." That wasn't Brother Lockett in the 90s. That wasn't Brother Lockett in 2010. That's Brother Lockett now.
Yeah.
There's been some progress.
Amen.
He's been eating on something good. Now, Sister Spirits look at him saying, "What you been eating? What you been eating?" Why? Because it shows.
Yeah.
And I was talking about that. I think about that. So, you know, the water falls on the just and the unjust. But we just want the water pure that God gives it.
That's right.
You know, we have this thing at our house. It's this rain barrel. So when it rains, the water comes from the gutter and goes in this barrel. And what you're supposed to do, if you're not lazy like me, you're supposed to take the water and then water your plants with that when it doesn't rain. Because then it has all the right nutrients, has everything in it. It's not filtered tap water. It gives it everything it needs. That's what we want. Well, I just want the rain. I want the rain how it falls. The church world, they want that filtered water. They want it to come in, then they want to clean it up. They want to change it around, change the molecules in it, add a little fluoride here, a little chlorine there, do this, do that. No. I want it how it falls. I want that natural water. I want what God intended it to be. Don't filter it for me. Give me straight what God just said. I want it fresh. I want it fresh. I'm like an eagle. I want fresh meat. Don't let this sit around. Don't let it get bacteria on it. Give it to me in fresh kale. Give me right what God said. Oh, I don't know if you can handle it. I can handle it. Say it. Say it. Put my name on it. If I need to be better, tell me I need to be better. Brother Jay, you need to step up here. Need to step up there. Do this there. Don't give me any room for ambiguity. I want to be right where God wants me to be. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. That's how I want it. That's how a believer wants it.
Amen.
This is full maturity.
Yes.
This bride is in full maturity now. When you talk about harvest time, you can't even harvest until it's at full maturity. Hot. Hot. I want it hot. Oh, that's where you let them sit in the sun. Don't put me in the freezer. Put me in the sun. Let me sit in the sunlight. The direct sunlight the whole time. That'll get the color that you're wanting.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be the change that you're wanting to see. That'll get the sweetness that you're wanting out of me. Put me in that sun.
Amen.
Oh, my brothers and sisters.
Oh, yes.
God has been good to us.
Amen.
When I think about what God has been doing for us,
yes,
He's been so good to us.
Amen.
Got something else I want to read. This is just another quote here. This is from the exposition of the church, seven church ages. Brother Branham. It's that harvest time, a real acceleration in the ripening. This is one of the quotes Pastor Moore probably was going to get to, but I'm going to steal it, so. When he reads it, just act like you never heard it. He's like, "Oh, where's that at? What paragraph again?" Sorry, make him feel good. Make him feel good. Harvest time, Brother Branham. Have you noticed that in the harvest time, though, there's a real acceleration in the ripening? There's consequently a slowing of growth until there is no growth. Is that not exactly what we're seeing now? The false vine is losing multitudes of the communes and various types of belief. Her numbers are not increasing as she would like us to think. Her hold on the people is not what it used to be. And in so many cases, going to church is just a show. Just a show. Now, this is Brother Branham in the 60s. If he could see it now, it really is just a show. It's a museum now. And the true vine, what about her? Is she growing? Where are those vast numbers that keep coming to revivals and answer altar calls? It's not the same anymore either. Are not most of them merely emotional in their approach? Or desires of something physical rather than desiring that which is truly spiritual?
Right.
Are they just want signs and wonders, or do they want the word? Is this age not like the day in which Noah entered the ark and the door was shut, but yet God tarried in judgment 7 days? No one was literally turned to God in those silent days. Nobody was able to be turned to God in those days. Nobody. Nobody got admitted into the ark during that 7 day of silence.
Right.
Nobody. At the end of the church ages, nobody gets added to the eighth day.
Right.
Either you're in it or you're out.
Right.
You don't get to hear about it and then come in it.
Right.
Either you were always a part of God or you're not.
That's right.
and yet it is the harvest time. There must come upon the scene in this age those who will bring the wheat and the tares to maturity. The tares are already maturing very fast under corrupt teachers who turn the people from the word. But the wheat also must mature. That's us. And to her, God is sending the prophet messenger with a vindicated ministry that he might be accepted by the elect. He is he's been accepted.
Yes.
They will hear him as the first church heard Paul. And she will mature in the word until becoming a word bride. The mighty works will be found in her that are always attendant upon the pure word and faith. That's us. That's right now. That's just Brother Branham over there talking about how, you know, during that harvest time, the growth stops.
Yeah.
There's no more growth happening. The churches are not getting bigger. There is a falling away even with churches. The bride is not getting bigger. It's not years ago. Well, what do you mean? I'm saying it's harvest for both groups. The wheat and the tares were allowed to grow the whole way through to maturity. They're stopping the growth. We're stopping the growth. There's no growth on either side. Churches are not getting bigger, and the bride is not getting any bigger. This is a pyramid.
Yeah.
For us, it's smaller at the top.
Oh yeah.
And I can't. I'd be remiss if I didn't say it even more. Like, this is a large group of believers.
Amen.
I mean, you have every profession recognized. You have every nationality recognized. You have every ethnicity recognized. You've got every educational background recognized. I mean, we don't have a gap in anything. We've got young, we've got old. We've got black, we got white. We got women, we got men. We got strong, we got little. We've got it all.
Yes. Loaded.
Amen.
Yeah.
As a body,
amen,
we're fully functional, as self-sufficient.
Fitly
joined together.
Amen.
There's groups of people that get together that need somebody else. We are solvent in our own ministry.
Yes.
We have everything we need.
Amen.
We're self-sufficient as a body. You know that's a healthy body?
Oh, yes!
That, you know, when your body is the healthiest it'll ever be, is when it's self-sufficient. When the metabolism is running like it's running, you can eat what you need to eat, and it'll burn just like it needs to burn. It'll burn. The water will burn like it needs to. The sugar will get processed like it needs to. It's self-sufficient. But when you have deficiencies in your body, when you're missing something, you got to get something external to help you out. You think about somebody with like diabetes. They got a sugar issue. They need something external to help them out.
Yeah.
That's just a simple explanation. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. That's as deep as I'm going to get on that. But what I'm telling you is that when your body is not healthy, it needs something outside of it to help it out.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing that it needs help. It's just it does need help. This body is not weak. This body, I don't need anybody's help from anywhere. We're self-sufficient. If nobody ever came and preach to us, we'd be all right. We'd be strong. If we went out every service, we'd be all right. If we got to go to Dayton every Sunday, we'd be okay. If nobody ever came to visit us, we'd be okay. During COVID, did the services were terrible? No. We had great services. Nobody could come in. Nobody could go out. You can only have 10 people, and we had the services of our lives. Proof, vindication, manifestation that this body is strong enough to make it. Whether we got 10 people, 200 people, no matter who's in here, we're going to have ourselves a good time.
That's right.
That's why when we even think about those services that are coming up, like New Year's, I'd love a lot of people to show up. I would. I'll have a great time. But if 10 people show up, I'm still going to have a great time. I came here for a great time. That's what I come here for. And that's what I'm going to get. That's what I expect. I love that Brother Isaiah said, I know I'm going to be the song leader because I came with some songs I expect to sing. Good.
Amen.
That should be every service.
Amen.
Every service you should be having an expectation that you're going to add a part to it.
Amen.
Whether it's like, I know I'm going to clap a little different on the next song, a little louder. I want to sing a little bit more on that one. I want to be able to read the words a little bit more. I want to be on the timing of that a little bit better.
Amen.
I want to move my seat up a little bit different. It's just something, you got expectation. You're already planning for it in anticipation.
Yes.
Oh, my. It's like a good restaurant. I always read the menu of a good restaurant. Now, if I'm going to McDonald's, I don't need to see what's on the dollar menu before I get there. I'll pick it. But you take me to somewhere, Jeff Ruby's, Malone, somewhere good, I'm looking at the menu. I don't want to read it all. Describe the salad for me. What are they putting in there? Bacon? Ooh. Blue cheese? Oh, okay. What kind of shredded lettuce? Oh, I'm reading every description. Let me see what the appetizers they got. It's got some spinach dip. Let me read about that. What they got in there? Some egg roll? I'm just telling you how my mind works. That's how it is on a good restaurant. Yes. I'm reading all the descriptions of everything. I'm wondering what they're going to bring in there. That's how it is when I come to church. I come in here, and I'm looking at each one of you like a menu. I'm like, I wonder if Brother Don's going to give one of those strong, powerful testimonies again. Yeah. I love it when he talks about how God talks to him in a still, small voice at night. That helps me when I'm struggling, getting my restless nights. I wonder if Sister Renee's going to talk about how God's right there beside her, so that way, when I'm going through something, I can just put my hand on my wife and say, God's here, honey. God's right here. I love that. When I look over, I say, let me see. Maybe Sister Riley's going to say something tonight, get me stirred up. I look over at Mike, and I go, maybe he's going to give me a little reset. Maybe he's going put some, I'm looking at the menu. I'm over here looking. I'm saying, who's serving tonight? Who's serving tonight? Who's back there in the kitchen tonight? When you get up to sing, I'm saying, ooh, what's that testimony they're going to say? Oh, I want to sing. When Brother Dwayne sang that, I'm saying, praise God. I'm glad he brought something extra. Why? Because I come here expecting.
Yes.
Why? Because I'm mature. I'm not a kid. As a kid, you barely want to even come here. Hardly want to eat anything. You go to a fancy restaurant with a kid, and they're like, nuggets, French fries, nuggets. They don't even read the menu. They don't care. They want nuggets and French fries. That's all they want. It could be a fish place, and they, nuggets, French fries. That's a kid. That's how people come in off the street when they don't want the word of God. They come and sit down and go, nuggets, French fries. Where's the singing? Where's the choir? Where's the band? Who's playing the guitar? And I'm like, the word's about to come. Well, but I just want nuggets and French fries. But the word's about to be preached. We got some excellent ministries up there. You might be able to hear God's going to preach even through the testimony. Nuggets and French fries. I just want a 15-minute service, and I want singing to be the most of it, and I want to get out of here, and I want to know what time I'm going to leave. Nuggets and French fries. That's what they come in here with. They come in here with that inundated doctrine of traditions where everything's got to be the same.
Yeah.
That's not what I want.
No.
I want the chef to have his way.
Yes.
Oh, give me what you got.
Yes.
If you got some cuts of meat that you want to share with me, bring it to the table.
Yes.
I want to try it all.
Yes.
If you got a testimony that's been burning on your heart all week, bring it to the table. I want to hear what God's been doing for you. Share it with me.
Yes.
Oh, my. We get so much God in here. I don't even think we realize how much God we get.
Amen.
Every service we get God.
Amen.
Every service. And you know what I love about this place? If it's your first service, or you missed a service, or you've been at 100 services, it all should be exciting.
Oh, always.
Shouldn't be any condemnation.
None.
You should come in here with no condemnation. You got a freedom to serve God in whatever state you find yourself in. You could have did it all wrong today. Nobody cares. You're in here tonight. Praise God. You go, the day was so hectic, I was late. So what? You're here now. Grace has been applied.
Yes.
Let's enjoy service. Don't ruin the service by what happened before you got here.
Right.
Don't let Satan in here now. You made it. You know, you talk about being safe. You know, they play those games where you run around and go to the base, to base, to base, and then you get to the one base where you're safe.
Yeah.
That means nobody can throw nothing at you.
Right.
Nobody can push you off. You get the home base and you're safe.
Right.
And then that's when the points get tallied up. That's when they keep score. Is when you hit home base. Nobody cares about first, second, or third. I'm glad you made it to them. But when you got to make it back home, that's when we keep score. That's what I keep score of. I don't care how many first bases you made it to. I don't care how many second and third bases you made it to. How many times you make it back home? You're home now. You're safe. That's when you score. Let's enjoy. Let's enjoy being home. Let's enjoy the word of God. Let's enjoy knowing who we are. This is a ripening time. We've been pulled off that vine. No more growing. No more growing. Pastor Moore even said, he said, when it gets so ripe, you just little twist, and it falls off. It's so ready to fall. I'm just so ready. Just leave me up here just a little bit. I'm just ripening in the sun just a little bit. I'm ready to go. Oh, you know that's sweet. When it just falls off like that, you know that's sweet. Oh, my. You know, we all got stories of Brother Steve's at Sweet Corn. Now, I know we've all had not sweet corn. And there is a difference. There is a significant difference. You bite into some not sweet corn, you're like, maybe they took this off a little early. This is dry. This is crunchy. I want juices to pop when I pop into the kernels. I want fresh. I want it to almost taste like somebody put a little bit of sugar in there. That's what it tastes like. That sweet corn is almost like a little bit of sugar has been sprinkled over it. That's what I want. When I come in here, it should be sweet. There should be a sweetness about you. You should be happy to be here. You should be lucky to be surrounded by this many believers that are looking out for your best interests, that are mature enough to handle whatever you're going through. See, when you're not mature, you can't handle a lot of things. You can't. You know, one Sunday night, Pastor Moore was saying something. He said, you know, when you're talking to kids, you got to talk to kids like you're talking to a kid. You got to break it down to their level. There's certain things that you don't share. That you got to break it into small little bites that they can eat. And give me the whole steak. I'll cut my own. I know what to do with it. I know how to break it down. You don't got to put it in little pieces for me to eat it. Give me the whole story. Tell me the whole thing. You don't got to put it in little pieces that I can eat it. Give me the whole thing. I can handle it. This is a day of full maturity now. The bride is fully mature. We're so mature, Brother Bram says she is standing on her feet. Oh, saints, let me read one last quote and we'll close. It's been beautiful. Been enjoying this. I haven't went in any order on Pastor Moore's notes. I've just been flipping pages. So whatever he wants to do with it, he can. I'll leave it back to him. I'm going to put it back like I never took it. Put it back in a songbook. And you guys just do me the favor. Don't tell on me. Thank you. This is Brother Branham over in leadership. Didn't Jesus say in the last days, Matthew 24 and 24, two would be so close it would deceive the very genes, predestinated elect ones, if it was possible. Almost like the real thing, see? So in the last days now, you see, it's wheat time now. Remember the wheat's the believers. It's getting harvest time. This is not Luther's age. This is not Pentecostal age. This is bride age. Bride age is full maturity. That means there's no more growing. Through there was growing. No more growing. Like Brother Steve said, that bottom of that corn gets black. That means there's no more growing going to happen anymore. All the nutrients have been passed. And even in the Bible, it says, all that God was, he poured into Christ. That's not where he stopped, though. All that Christ was, he poured into the bride. That's us. That's the believers. We have all that God gave Christ. We have in us. Oh, my. Oh, my. I love it like that. I have one more that I wanted to read, and then I'm going to get out of here. Sorry. This one I liked. This is in Revelation, Book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. Upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. See, God uses a sickle to thrash out the grain, something sharp to get it out. But, you know, what I love about this is we heard that quote. It said, you need something sharper than any two-edged sword. You need something sharp in this hour. Listen, this is Brother Branham. He said, listen, we're at the end time. And I would say this with reverence and respect as the last couple minutes is floating by. Hey, me too, Brother Branham. Look, what God, to my opinion, will do and must do and will do in this last day is to find a tool for the harvest. He's got to find a tool to thrash the floor. Any farmer, when he goes into his harvest, he has to have a tool to do it with. Certainly, he's got to have a sharp sickle or something, some instrument to thrash out the grain, and the harvest is ripe. God, take us in your hand. Make us bondservants of your love. Use us for the tool to bring the realization to the sinful curse that we're living in today that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you. Come on up, musicians. Amen, amen, amen. The bride has reached full maturity, saints. Amen. We know what it is. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Get one for you. Get this ready for you. Yes, sir. Come on up, Brother Warren. We're not going to break away from what we do here. Okay. Pray for that family. There you go. Come on up here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're coming to you as faithful servants, Lord. You know, Brother Branham said, when the spirit is high, that's the best time to pray, Lord. Lord, Sister Faith is coming here, standing in the gap for a friend as they've lost a loved one. Lord, bless that family. Lord, help them get through this. You know, even Jesus had a saying where he said he wept. Jesus wept when he lost his friend. Lord, bless that family as they go through that and give them the strength
persevere. Lord, bless Brother Warren as he's come here, ask for a prayer call. Bless him, Lord. Bless his bride body and bless the bride that's traveling around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you both. God bless you. God bless you. Let's sing something and get out of here. Now, got to update. My cousin, some of you guys met her when we were at the hospital, Danielle. She says she's going to be trying to come to church this Sunday. So we'll see what happens there. I'm not sure how that works or whatever. They said they're doing something for people that have got organ donations or something. So I text Pastor Moore. I said, hey, my cousin wants to come to church. He said, well, come on. So we'll see what happens. So hopefully you guys get to see her this Sunday. That'd be cool. I'm always happy to see anybody that makes it to church, however long. God bless you. Good to see you. Sister Belinda was praying for you. Said, I want to serve God with my daughters. Amen. Amen. Come on up, Sister Belinda. I'm getting my song together.
Heart good to see your daughter just come to me. I want to go to church tonight. I just thank God for that. I thank God for that. Yes. We commit to God. You know that He takes care of our children.
Amen.
That He takes care of us. And you know, today one of the sisters invited me to a movie. We got to see a movie called After Death. And you know, we know more because of the revelation, and the world gets to see things, and their interpretation of it is their own. And it's there were some accuracies in the movie. But I thank God that we know that what they see and what they may see. They talked about buoyancy when they come out of that, their natural bodies. And I said, Lord, you know, we'll have that experience of not being hampered by these natural bodies. We'll be all able right. to experience things that we've never got to experience before. But I thank God that we can put what they might see in a more carnal sense, we can put a spiritual sense
Amen.
On that. But I thank God for the rest. I thank God that I know that everything is in God's hands, not just thank you.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to sing page 191, key of G. God has smiled on me. Come back Sunday expecting. We'll see what God's going to do. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Yes, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. God has smiled on me. Yes, God, oh, He's smiled on me. He has set me free. I know my God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. You're dismissed.